your glory. I will do anything just to see you, to behold you for your glory. I will do any just to see you, to behold you as for your glory. I will do any just to see you, to behold, 'cause I want to be where you are. I gotta be where you are, Lord. I want to be where you are. I gotta be where you are. One more time, sing. I want to be where. I gotta be where you are. I wanna be where. Hallelujah. Anybody believe that today, that for your glory, I will do anything just to see you? Can we stand to our feet just one more time and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22. Can we give another hand for Kyle, who read the scripture reading today? The Bible says, starting at verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Verse 24 says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Verse 25 says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, for it is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Verse 29 says, And he said, Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Before you take your seats, tell your neighbor my sermon title for today. Say, when you move, I move. When you move, I move. Just like that. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. When you move, I move. Just like that. I believe that God is saying, in order for us to move when he moves, we have to bust a move. In order for you to move, we got to move like Jesus moves. God is saying that in order for us to move, we're going to have to get out of that pew. We're going to have to get out of that boat. We're going to have to get out of that relationship. We're going to have to get out of that job. We're going to have to get out of that mindset, because God is calling us to a higher place. And really, that is what this text is all about. It introduces us to Jesus, who is now preaching and teaching the gospel, and he ends up feeding the multitude, and he tells the disciples that he wants them to get into the boat and to go onto the other side. The Bible says that as they were on their way to the other side, they encountered a storm. Somebody say, uh-oh. Yeah, they encountered a storm. As they were on their way to the other side, they was obeying Jesus, which made them get in the ship. They got in the ship, which made them encounter a storm, which leads me to believe that the only reason they encountered the storm was because they obeyed. Because they obeyed. Notice this, Emerson. They didn't encounter the storm before they left. They didn't even encounter the storm after they made their way to where they were going. But they encountered the storm while they were on their way. While they were obeying Jesus, while they were listening, while they were doing the right thing. The storm didn't appear until they obeyed Jesus. That ought to make someone shout with gladness here today, because the storm is a signal that you're on your way somewhere. I wish I just had some help already in the sanctuary, because I said the storm is a confirmation that you're going somewhere. If you're not dealing with a storm, that means you're still in park. But if you're dealing with a storm, that means God has taken you out of park and he's taking you on a drive. And the first stop is to go through the storm. See, I believe that that is a great news today, because you thought you were going through the hell that you were going through because you did something wrong. You thought that you were going through the hell that you were going through because you just messed up and made some mistakes in the past. But I'm here to let you know that you got it twisted. I declare and I decree that what you're going through right now is a storm pushing you to the other side. The storm is pushing you to the other side, to the other miracle. The hurt you're going through right now, the hell you're going through right now, the lies, the loneliness, the depression, the sicknesses. I just wish I had a few help in the sanctuary today. The frustration that you're going through right now is all because you got it going on. The enemy doesn't mess with anyone that don't got it going on, but I believe that the enemy is going after you because you just got it going on. You're carrying something. You're carrying something mighty. You're carrying something big. You're carrying something powerful. You're carrying a miracle. You're carrying a blessing. You're carrying a calling upon your life, and I believe that that is a reason why you're going through what you're going through. So do me a favor, slap five with your neighbor and say, I got it going on. Yeah, because God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. He has a destination for you. He has you going somewhere, and that's why it seems like it's been difficult lately. See, what I've learned is that I don't live a perfect life. I believe nobody lives a perfect life. And if you do live a perfect life, this sermon isn't for you. But I'm talking to some real ones today that says the enemy's been after my family. The bills have been piling up lately. The suffering of the enemy of depression has been taking a toll on my body lately. The money just seems like it's not enough. I've been battling with sickness after sickness. Family and friends are nowhere to be found. But I'm here to let you know today that God is taking you through the storm. He's not taking you over the storm, he's not taking you around the storm, he's not taking you below the storm, but he's taking you through the storm. So disciples, they get in the ship and they're on their way to the other side, and they encounter a storm. After they obey Jesus, they encounter a storm. Have you ever made a decision in life that you knew was the right decision, but you're getting so much backlash and you're getting so much attack as if it's not the right decision? God, I knew leaving this toxic relationship was right, but it just seems like it's not right. I'm still dealing with depression and insecurities are still knocking on my door. I knew that I should have left this job, but it just seems like it's hard for me to find another job. God, I knew getting back in church was the right decision, but it just seems like the church hurt that's going on, the church drama, the church gossip, it's just too much. God, I knew cutting that friend off was the right decision for me, but it just feels like I'm so lonely and misunderstood. Have you ever just made the right decision, but you're confused as to backlash? You're confused as to attacks that's coming your way? You're confused as to why the right decision is taking you through the storm? So the disciples, they get in the ship and they're on their way to the other side. And as they're on their way to the other side, they encounter the storm. And the disciples begin to freak out because they're like, why are we the ones dealing with this storm inside? And Jesus has to come to them in the middle of the water. And Jesus says to them, do not be afraid, for it is I. Notice this, Emerson. Jesus did not confront the storm. I love how he confronted the situation. He confronted the storm that was inside of them. He didn't confront the storm that was going on around them. Jesus is the creator of everything. He created the waters. So he could easily have ceased the storm. He created the winds. He created the waves. But instead of him confronting the storm, he confronts their fears. He confronts the internal storm that they're going through. And I believe that that is a good place to give God praise today, because the fear that goes on inside of you, the depression that goes on inside of you, the internal storms that you deal with each and every day, God has come to not confront the situation, but he has come to confront you. I don't know about you, but I'm encountering a mental storm, and I wonder if I'm good enough. I wonder if I made the right decision. I wonder if this was right for me, if what's going on in my life, did I make the right move? Should I have listened when they said to do otherwise? Is it still time for me to turn around and to go back to the ship? But I believe that this is a great opportunity to remind you what my Bible says. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Meaning that whatever you face, whatever you're dealing with, you're better than that. Whatever you face, whatever you're dealing with, you're greater than that. You're more powerful than that. You're stronger than that. Can anybody just give God praise for the victory that has already won? Because the answer to what you're looking for, the cure to the disease, is already inside of you. God says that it's greater lives inside of you. So what we're bothered by, what we face with, what we're moved by, what we're worried about, God isn't worried about. He isn't fazed by it. He isn't moved by it. The intimidation that we see about that mountain, the intimidation we see about those walls, the intimidation we see about these chains means nothing to God. And because he is so invested into us, he rather confront ourselves than confront the storm itself. Because he uses the storm to train our fears. The storm you're going through right now, it may seem long, it may seem drawn out, it may seem impossible in your eyes, but God is using it to build you. He's using it to strengthen you. He's using it to clarify you. He's using it to mature you. He's using it to bring peace inside of you, to bring joy inside of you. Not the kind of peace, not the kind of joy that fades away once another storm arrives, but the kind of peace and the kind of joy that surpasses all understanding. That kind of peace that when the bills arrive, I'm okay. The kind of peace that when the doctor said otherwise, I'm okay. The kind of peace that when there's no money in the bank account, I'm okay. The kind of peace that even in the midst of the fight of depression, I'm going to be okay. Can anybody just thank God for the storm? Because you know it's training you, it's training your joy, it's training your peace, it's training your strength. I thank God for the storm. He says everything you need is already inside of you. So many times in this season and in this storm, we want to run to temporary things like sex and drugs and alcohol and men and family and money to fill those vacancies. Everything you need, you've already got it. So the disciples, they get in the ship and they're on their way to the other side. As they're on their way to the other side, they encounter a storm. And Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, for it is I." He shows up in the storm. In the storm. Not before, not after, but at the peak of the storm. Why? Because God is attracted to your brokenness. He's not only there when the gas tank is full, but he's there when it's empty. He's not only there when there's money in the bank account, but he's there when the count in the negative. He's there when the bills need to be paid. He's there when the chains of depression needs to be released. He's there when the pick notice is on the door. He's there when the diagnosis hits your body. He's there when the surgery is about to begin. Can anybody just thank God for being at the peak of the storm? When mama can't help you, when daddy can't help you, when your medicine isn't working, when the doctor said otherwise, when the pastor said otherwise, when your friends are nowhere to be found, can anybody just thank God for being at the peak of the storm? Thank God for being at the peak of the storm. And so he shows up at the peak of the storm, and this is where we find Peter saying, "All right, Lord, if it is you," he said, "All right, Lord, if it is you. If it is you that wants me out of this relationship, if it is you that wants me to go back to college, if it is you that wants me to marry her, if it is you that wants me to take this job, if it is you that wants me to start this business, if it is you that want me to leave the girl," could anybody just say that I just need confirmation for myself? I'm not trying to be in something that I don't got no business being in. So Lord, if it is you, have you ever just wondered if God is calling you towards this situation? Lord, if it is you, would you bid me to come to you on the water? In order to be a believer of God, you have to think about the impossible. Nobody thinks about walking on water, but when you walk with God, anything is possible. I love, and I feel like God loves Peter right here. This isn't in my notes, but I just feel this in the spirit. I believe that God is saying that he is in love with your big dream. So many times we like to put God into a box. But Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, just tell me to come on water." Some stuff you just have to ask God to do things that men can't do. You have to ask God to do things that the doctor can't do, that your friends can't do, that the medicine can't do. So he's asking God to do something that no man can do. He says, "Lord, if it is you." Lord, if it is you. There's 12 of them in the ship, yet only one of them says, "Lord, if it is you." I think that's a good place to give God praise today, because it only takes one person to make the initiative. It doesn't take a whole lot. God doesn't need a whole lot. He's not attracted to the crowd. A lot of men are attracted to the crowd, but he's not attracted to the crowd. It only takes one man. It only takes one man. But here's the great part. Jesus sends an open invite to everyone. He says, come. He doesn't say, come on, Peter. He says, come. You got it. I don't think they got it. I said, he says, come to everyone, meaning that you didn't have to ask God to show up, but his invitation is open for you too. Yeah. So listen, I need you to look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, Lottie, Dottie, everybody getting blessed. Everybody getting blessed because the invitation was open for everyone. Everybody's getting blessed. Everybody's getting delivered. Everybody's getting healed. Everybody's getting a miracle. Oh, come on. Can I just have a witness in the house today? Look at your neighbor and say, we coming out today. We coming out today. That's why you ought to not judge someone's praise. You ought not to judge someone's shout. You ought not to judge someone's cry, because that praise, that cry, that worship, that prayer may be for you and your mess as well. Because it only takes one. So if she's your one, she's healing you too. I need somebody to just give God praise today, because it only takes one. It only takes one. You're looking at me funny because I want to holler. You're looking at me funny because I want to clap. You're looking at me funny because I want to pray right now, or I want to plead the blood of Jesus. But this worship may be for you and your mess as well. It may be for you and you're coming out too, because it only takes one. Newsflash, we're coming out together. I can be the one, but we're all coming out together. I need you to tell that neighbor, tell that friend, tell that church member, tell that family member of yours that we're coming out today. We're coming out today. We're coming out of jealousy. We're coming out of frustration. We're coming out of depression. We're coming out of poverty. We're coming out today. See, this is the thing. The enemy wants you to stay in your mess. The enemy wants you to live in your misery. Because what happens is we become so heartbroken, we become so depressed, and we become so numb to the hurt that we're too afraid to ask for any help. We're too afraid to call on the name of Jesus. We're too afraid to lift up our hands in church anymore because we know that we've been through something. But I've come to let you know today that you don't have to ask for God's help. I ask for God's help for you, because it only takes one. I know there's somebody in here today that is struggling with some type of sickness, that's struggling with some type of depression, and the enemy has been holding you hostage. But I come to let you know today that it only takes one. It only takes one. So we're coming out of this together. This breakthrough is for you. This cure is for you. This joy is for you. This answer is for you. Can I have anybody's help in here today? Does anybody need an answer from the Lord today? Whatever you need, you can get it today, because it only takes one. It only takes one. How many does it take, Miss Marion? It only takes one. It only takes one. Jesus says, come, which means that it's a corporate miracle, meaning that nobody has to miss out on this opportunity. You don't have to do nothing about it. Can you give God praise today? Because earthly things we have to wait for, earthly things we have to pay for, earthly things we have to fight for, earthly things we have to give up something to get something in return. But God says, you don't have to give me nothing. But can we just give God praise just because we have it in us? Can we open up our mouths just because he's God, just because he's helped me, just because he put food on my table, just because he put... Can anybody just give God praise today? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you said. It doesn't matter what they said about you. But I've come to let you know today that even in the midst of your storm, you're coming out. You're coming out of the boat. You're coming out of the storm. You're coming out of cancer. You're coming out of depression. I'm here to let you know today that you're coming out. Trouble does not last always. You're coming out. You're coming out. You're coming out. You're coming out because it's available for you today. God says, come. So Peter says, Lord, if it is you, I will come. The Lord is sending an invitation to everyone. He sends an evite, but only Peter RSVPs. Only Peter is the only one that says, when you move, I move. Just like that. Peter is the only one with the mentality. Everybody has an opportunity to get healed. But who takes him up on his request? Who takes him up on his offer? I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but somebody has been feeling depressed. Somebody has been feeling low. Somebody has been feeling broken. And I've come to let you know today that even if you felt like you was at the last count, this message is for you. Some of you need just a push outside of that boat, a push outside of depression, a push outside of betrayal, a push outside of loneliness into your next season. Yeah, because before this year ends, before this week ends, before this month ends, I'm busting a move. I don't know about you, but I'm busting a move. I'm going to say that one more time. Before this year ends, before this month ends, before this week ends, I'm busting a move. I'm busting a move. I'm busting a move. I don't want to pump your heads up about upgrading, elevating, promoting without giving you three disclaimers. So can y'all bear with me? I'm going to give you three disclaimers and then we're going to go eat. Amen. Before you can bust a move, I believe God has given you three disclaimers. Point number one. Y'all writing this down?
Yeah.
All right. Point number one. God is saying to prepare to be lonely.
Yeah.
Prepare to be lonely. It's crazy how there were 12 of them in the ship, but how many got out the ship?
Only one.
But how many does it take?
One.
It only takes one. Prepare to be lonely, because moves can be lonely. Amen.
Yeah,
a lot of times some of us decide not to bust a move because no one else is busting a move. Some of us decide not to bust a move because we're waiting on man's approval. But can anybody just say that I can't get man's approval on what God has already ordained? I'm going to just put this disclaimer right here. I am not a perfect person, okay? I'm not perfect at all. I am 18 years old. Amen. But one thing that I know is that moves can be lonely. I don't need anybody to tell me what I've done. I don't need anybody to tell me what I've said last week, last year, yesterday. But what God has already ordained, it has already come to pass. So moves can be lonely. Moves can be lonely. Listen, no one else wants to step outside of this ship with Peter. But the beautiful thing about this story is when Peter makes the decision that says, Jesus, when you say come, I'm coming. He didn't look back at them and say, all right, anybody out going out there with me? He didn't say, is this the right thing? He didn't wait for anybody else to make the initiative, but he said, I'm going to start this. There may be some generational curses, but you can break it today. You can be the first one. You don't have to wait for somebody else to do it. You don't have to wait for somebody else to give you the approval, but you can do it, because you're waiting on someone to agree. You're waiting on someone to sign off. You're waiting on someone to approve which has already been approved. Yeah. So whether you like it or not, whether you support it or not, whether you agree with it or not, I'm busting a move. A lot of times, a lot of us are in need of everyone agreeing with the move. They gotta like this job I work at. They gotta like this car I drive. They gotta approve of this man or woman I'm bringing home. But I've come to let you know today that you cannot wait for men to approve what's up to God. And this is the dangerous thing. This is how you need to know the Lord for yourself. Because some moves is up, but it's between you and God. And so many of us are so vulnerable, allowing too many prophets in our life telling us what we should do, what we shouldn't do, when we should move, how we should move. But some decisions is up between you and God. That's it. It's up between you and God. Some moves, God has ordained it to be lonely. He's ordained it to be lonely. Busting a move can be lonely. It's like the only one standing in church. It's like the only one lifting your hands when everybody else is sitting there. It's like the only one crying out hallelujah after the music stops, after the singer stops singing. Sometimes a move can be lonely, even when you come to church. Nobody else may not be feeling it, but I'm giving God praise because I know that I've been through the storm and he's picked me up, he's turned me around, and he placed my feet on a solid ground. So whether you want to holler, whether you want to shout, whether you want to sit there with your arms crossed, I'm here to let you know today that moves can be lonely. Moves can be lonely. Moods can be lonely. It's so crazy how we can come to church and hold our praise back. Because tomorrow is not promised. A lot of times people think tomorrow is not guaranteed. So I'm giving God praise today like it's my last. I'm giving God my best praise. I'm giving God my best shout. I'm giving God my best head because it's not guaranteed. I'm not guaranteed to walk out that door like everything. I'm not guaranteed to get in a car accident. So I'm giving God praise today because he's given me an opportunity. Anytime you're given the opportunity to give God praise, I dare somebody to just give God praise just because. I don't have to ask you to do it. You could just think of the goodness for yourself. He opened some doors for you. He healed somebody today. Can anybody just give God? You don't have to wait for the pastor to come back, but you can give God praise yourself because the pastor may not never come back. Can anybody just give God praise just because I'm lonely? It's all right. I'm going to still give God praise. I'm going to still give God my best. I'm going to still clap my hands because he's worthy to be praised. Point number one, moves can be what? Moves can be what? Point number two, this is my favorite part. Prepare for the risk. You can prepare to be lonely, but also prepare for the risk. Prepare for the risk. At first, the move looked pretty cool. I have to say myself, you know, Peter's walking on water. So it's looking good. It's looking interesting. It's looking different, you know. Have you ever just wanted to do something that nobody else is doing, but you want them to say, dang, that's pretty dope. They came up with a good idea. But prepare for the risk, because he started walking on water, but then he started to sink. Listen, busting a move, stepping out on faith, does not guarantee an automatic success. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. Busting a move does not always guarantee an automatic success. You're still bound to fail. Matter of fact, busting a move requires failure. Busting a move requires, I lost some amens there. Busting a move requires failure. I wish I had somebody here. So listen, I wish somebody kind of told me this a little bit earlier. That going to school is risky. That dating is risky. Falling in love is risky. Yeah, getting married is risky. I don't know about that. Praise the Lord. Starting a business is risky. Going to church is risky. Amen. It's all risky. But the crazy thing is that we sing about the risk for your glory. We pray about the risk, we preach about the risk, we dance about the risk, we shout about the risk, but we're not really about that life. We're not really about the risk. We're too afraid of the risk that the move requires. See, you sit in the same seats every Sabbath because we're comfortable. It's risky if I go sit next to the stranger that I do not know. It's risky. And imagine this. We come into church every Sabbath and we sit in the same seats because we're comfortable, right? Amen. We're comfortable. But Peter is in the middle of the water and he's sinking. And I vision Peter being in the middle of the water and he's far away from the ship. He has no comfort zone. He has no place that he can run to. I'm talking to somebody today. He has no one to look to depend on. He has no one to call late at night when you're crying in bed sleep. He has no one to look to. It was a risky move. He was doing it in the middle of nowhere. But he steps out and he begins to sink. But he's far from the ship. I'm coming to somebody's lane today. As soon as the storm starts, a lot of us, you know what a lot of us do? We run right back to the ship. As soon as it starts to look risky, as soon as it starts to look too deep, we start to run back to the ship. You don't really love that man, but you're running back to the man because it's risky trying to find another man. You don't really like that job, but you keep running back to that job because it's risky trying to find another job. I'm losing some amens, but I'm preaching to somebody today that it's risky. And so a lot of times, this is the dope thing about God. A lot of times, God has to eliminate the ship as an option. He has to eliminate the ship. She got it. She has to eliminate the ship, because if he did not eliminate the ship as an option, I would run back to the ship. That's why when I called my ex and I'm blocked, it's because some options he has to remove outside of the way, because once it gets risky, we want to run back to the familiar. Sometimes we're afraid of the unfamiliar, so we run back to the familiar. Yeah. So God has to close some doors. You wonder why that friend isn't responding to you. You wonder why that job isn't calling you back. You wonder why the ex doesn't want you back. I come to let you know today that sometimes God has to close some doors, because if you walk out of the door and he left that door open, as soon as you see the lightning, as soon as you hear the thunder, you're going to run right back inside. But that's why making a bold move is risky, because it's tempting to go back to the familiar. It's tempting. But this is what I like about God. Even when we're sinking, God is always right there to snatch us. I said God is always right there to snatch us. Y'all wasn't ready for that, so we're going to come back to that. But point number three. Busting a move, you need to prepare to be what? You need to prepare to be lonely. And you need to prepare for the what? You need to prepare for the risk. Number three. I'm going to see how many people has been paying attention. I believe God is telling me that five people is about to erupt in praise for this. Point number three. Prepare for the reward. You prepared to be lonely. You prepared for the risk. Now God is saying prepare for the reward. You got it. The Bible says I believe God is saying to prepare for the reward. Some of you thought that Peter is a failure. You know, Peter failed. He asked God. He thought he was just this blessed of a person. Amen. To ask God if he could come, ask Jesus if he could come to him on water. He steps outside of the boat. He begins to start walking, but then he sinks. So a lot of you are dogging Peter. But can we change the story for just a second? A lot of us, it's just easy for us just to leave it right there, for us to say that he thought he was big and bad and he thought he was trying. Have you ever just wondered why people was talking? I feel like people were probably just saying, you know, why he doing this? Why he felt like he's just this great of a person to walk on the water? Who do he think he is? Who do he think he is? But I believe that Peter is teaching us a lesson. And we all learn a lesson through Peter. What is the lesson, you ask? The lesson is the power of failure. The ability to fail forward. Somebody miss it. The ability to fail forward. Did y'all get it? I said the ability to fail forward. See, failure isn't an option in life. We all are bound to fail. We've all failed before. We all bound to fail. But the question is, what you going to do with your failure? See, we have a decision. We can use this failure and it can pull us back, or we can use the failure and it can push us into our next season, on to the next one. He teaches us the power of failure. Failure isn't an option. The option is whether we decide to fail backwards or we decide to fail forwards. Yeah, the problem is not failure. The problem is, do we decide to fail forward or fail backwards? And the Bible says that as Jesus sees Peter sinking, he begins to snatch him. He begins to snatch him. Peter is sinking in misery. He's sinking in his defeat. He's sinking in his lies. He's sinking in his sin. He's sinking in his rumors. He's sinking in cancer. He's sinking in depression. But as soon as Jesus sees him sinking, he snatches him.
He snatches him. Can anybody just give God praise for snatching you? For snatching you from the hand of the enemy. From snatching you from cancer. From snatching you from diabetes. From snatching you from the... Can anybody just give God praise for the reward? The reward is that he can snatch you. It doesn't matter how far away from the ship you may be. It doesn't matter how long you haven't been going to church. It doesn't matter how long you haven't been praying. But I've come to let you know today that God can snatch you. He can snatch you in your mess. He can snatch you where you messed up. He can snatch you even though you've been crying. Can anybody just give God praise with a heart broken? Even though I'm feeling low, even though I'm feeling down, God can snatch me. That's a reward in itself, because he snatched me. He snatched me. So I didn't have to ask for it. I didn't have to get on my knees and just start crying. But sometimes he just snatched me, even when I feel like I messed up myself. Even when I feel like I shouldn't have done it for myself. He snatched me just because I'm his child. I need somebody to give God praise because you're his child. And he's not going to leave you in the middle of the sea alone. Give God praise because he snatched you. He snatched you. Y'all got room for one more? Y'all room for one more reward? Not only did he snatch him, but he stretched him. He stretched him. Not only did he snatch him, but he stretched him. He stretched him. Peter would not have been in this situation if his faith was not stretched. You're going through the storm because God is trying to stretch your faith. Can anybody just thank God for the compliment? I thank God for the storm because he's complimenting me. He wants to stretch me. He wants to grow me. He wants to develop me. Not only did he snatch me, but he what? He stretched me. He stretched me. He stretched me. He snatched me and he stretched me. He snatched me out of a toxic relationship. He snatched me out of drugs. He snatched me out of a crazy lifestyle. Is there anybody that can give God praise? Not for the money, not for the car, not for the clothes, not for the house, but because he snatched you. Because he snatched you. And I can look at you right now and I don't know how God snatched you. I honestly don't know why God snatched you. But it's not up to me. But I can tell who he snatched. Do I have anybody to say I've been snatched by the Lord? I would not have been here if the Lord had not snatched me. If he had not snatched me. Because cancer could have won. Depression could have won. Suicide could have won. But God snatched me. Can anybody just thank God for snatching you in the middle of your mess? In the middle of your misery? In the middle of your losses, in the middle of your failure, Peter used his failure to move forward. Can anybody said, I'm moving forward with God today? I'm moving forward. I'm not letting this failure to keep me bondage. I'm not letting this failure keep me hostage. But this praise is for what's about to come. This praise is for the upgrade I'm about to get. This praise is for the elevation. Because I got a mind made up that when you move, I move. Just like that. I don't need anybody to go along with me. I don't care about being lonely. I don't care about the risk. Because I'm going towards the reward. Can anybody just give God praise for the reward that's getting ready? I said prepare for the reward. You're not preparing for the reward. Put those hands together as if the reward has already been granted to you. Give God praise as if the reward has already been granted to you. I thank God for the reward. I thank God for the reward, because God is calling you to be something that you can't even see yet, that you can't even imagine yet. But I've come to let you know today that God wants you to be everything that he's created you to be. Do anybody got a yes in their spirit today? I said, does anybody have a yes in their spirit today? Okay, I lost a few more. I just need somebody to just give God a yes. 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 Because you can't get the answer you're waiting for until you say yes. God needs permission. Can anybody give God permission to heal you today? Can anybody just give God permission to deliver you today? Because I will be everything that God has created me to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This message is for somebody today. Have you ever been paralyzed with fear? I said paralyzed with fear. Listen, there was a moment in my life, there was a season in my life that I was so heartbroken. I was so fearful. I was so depressed that it paralyzed me. It paralyzed me mentally. There would be some times I would wake up in the morning and I just didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to go to work. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to turn my phone on. There were just some times I woke up that fear has literally paralyzed my body. Can we be real for a second? Has anybody just been paralyzed with fear? If that's you, can you bombard this altar right now? Because we're about to pray. And I need somebody to join me at this altar. If you've ever been paralyzed with fear, if you've ever been paralyzed with depression, because God is calling you to be something, but you cannot fulfill that calling until you give God a yes. If you've been paralyzed, I need you to meet me at this altar right now. Meet me at this altar right now. And listen, a lot of times people aren't moving in this sanctuary right here because you'll feel like you would be lonely if you join me at the altar. You felt like if you join me at the altar, it would be risky. Well, you're correct. But that's all a part of the reward. So I need you to just lose your mind away from the loneliness, lose your mind away from the risk, and I need you to join me at this altar right now. Come on, let's press forward. Let's press forward. Because God is calling you to be something, and you cannot be it until you say yes. Listen to the lyrics of this song.
In the journey of life, there are winding roads, mountains high and valleys low. Though the road ahead may be unknown, I'm still focused on the prize that's worth pressing for. I will be what you've called me to be. I say yes, Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be, and that's what I'll be.
Now for a minute, I need somebody to close their eyes, and I need you to just think about that calling that you know God has been calling you to. Think of that one thing that God is calling you to move. Just think of it. Just think of it. Just think of it. Just think of it. And listen to the lyrics of the song just one more time.
Mountains high and valleys low. Though the road ahead may be unknown, I'm still focused on the prize that's worth pressing for. I will be what you've called me to be.
Lift your hand, say, I say yes.
I say yes.
Lord, I agree.
Lord, I agree.
My desire.
My desire.
Passionately.
Passionately is to be what you've called me to be.
Sing, that's what I'll be.
That's what I'll be.
One more time. I'll say yes. I'll say yes. Yes, I agree. Come on, just open up your mouth and just tell God yes today. I say yes.
I say yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Sing, I agree.
I agree.
Anybody just say that I'm going to agree with God called me to be the head and not the tail.
I say yes.
Yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, God.
Yes.
I know you don't want me to say this depression too long.
I agree.
So I agree with what you said about me. Come on, I need you to get your mind on the mind of God. When you move, he wants you to move too.
I say yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
say, I agree.
I agree.
I say yes.
I say yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Say,
I agree.
I'm not moving when everybody else moves, but I'm taking the risk. I say yes.
I say yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Say, I agree.
I agree.
One more time, come on, did we just mean what we're saying today? Say, I say yes.
I say yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
I agree.
I agree.
Can I pray for you today? Come on, let's bow our heads in prayer. God, we love you. We bless your name. We worship you, God. Thank you for this memorable worship experience, God. We're coming before you today, stepping outside of the boat. The first step that we take was stepping outside of our pews and making our way to the altar. But God, we know, Lord, that the road is still ahead. There's still a road ahead, God. But we're coming outside of toxicity, God. We're coming outside of misery. We're coming outside of loneliness, God. We're coming outside of depression, God, because we're calling on the name of Jesus, the name that heals, the name that sets free, the name that delivers, God. We're calling upon your name because we know, God, that when we call you, we're getting called out of rejection. We're getting called out of fear. We're getting called out of disappointment. God, we believe, Lord, that once we call you, we're getting called out of depression. So God, as we call on your name, the fear of not being loved is being released. The fear of failing is being released. God, we thank you for this word. God, we thank you, God, that you've given us the disclaimer to prepare to be lonely, to prepare for the risk. But God, we thank you for the reward is ahead. And our reward is in heaven. God, we just want to be in heaven with you, Lord. We just want to be in heaven with you, Lord. So, God, thank you for showing us that it can be lonely, that it can be risky, but, God, the reward outweighs it all. Thank you, Lord. We say yes to your will today, God. We say yes to your way today, God. We say yes, Lord, that we're going to agree. We're going to step out of the boat. We're going to follow you, even if we don't know where there's not any road signs. We're in the middle of the water. But, God, we know, Lord, that your hand is there to snatch us and to stretch us as soon need be. God, I'm praying for everyone under the sound of my voice today. Somebody has been held hostage in depression. Somebody has been held hostage because of finances, because of bills, because of depression, but because of cancer, because of diabetes. But God, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I'm praying, Lord, that you will give them the confidence to be what you called them to be, Lord. We say yes to your will, God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. God, because I believe here in our presence, in your presence, God, you're releasing every chain that we came in this sanctuary with. Right where you are, can you just show sign that you're releasing it? Just show sign that you're releasing. God, we're releasing fear. We're releasing depression to you because, God, you've called us to be somewhere greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So, God, we say yes to your way. We say yes, God, to the reward. We say yes, God, to the mountains that you're getting ready to move, to the walls you're getting ready to break down, God, to the chains that you're getting ready to let loose on us. And, God, when you let the chains loose, God, we'll be careful to give you our best praise, our best worship, God. Yes, Lord, in this moment, I believe that God is giving us an exchange. As soon as you exchange to him your fears, he's exchanging to you the reward. Can you just begin to exchange to God whatever fears, whatever been keeping you up late at night, whatever been heartbroken, whatever been making you cry lately, just release it into the atmosphere. You don't have to say it, but can you just release it into the atmosphere? Just go ahead and intercede on your behalf. And God, we believe as we're releasing it to you, you're exchanging it with joy. You're replacing it with peace. The type of peace, the type of joy, God, that surpasses all understanding. God, we thank you for this opportunity. And God, as we leave here, but not from your presence, Lord, I pray, God, that you will walk with us, Lord, that you'll talk with us, Lord, that you'll keep us company when we're lonely. God, that you remind us that the move may not be reckless, but it may be risky. But God, we'll continue to press forward to the reward. And all God's people begin to shout and give God praise for the doors that's getting ready to open. for the ways he's getting ready to make. Come on, you let go of those hands and just begin to clap those hands and give God praise for what he's getting ready to do. Before you can see it, before you can feel it, before you can hear it, I thank God for what he's getting ready to do. And you can take your seats in the presence of the Lord. God bless you.
I say